Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you and good morning. Since some political leaders, both liberal and conservative, have proposed the legalization of marijuana, we need to be informed on the dangers of this drug. We cannot vote intelligently or take a logical moral stand on any issue until we know what is involved. It is my responsibility as a gospel preacher and as an educator to help our young people, and older ones as well, to make a reasonable judgment on moral and spiritual controversies. To that end, I want to speak to you today on the dangers of marijuana. If you have additional insights or information, I would be pleased to hear from you. In the early 1940s, some cousins of mine from Allen County, Kentucky, grew hemp for the United States government. Hemp fiber was used for twines, carpet thread, carpet yarns, sailcloth, coarse sheeting, and toweling. Hemp seeds are used for bird food and for a source of marijuana, hashish, and oil for soaps and paints. The federal government furnished the plants for farmers, and every farmer had to give an exact accounting for every plant. If a horse stepped on a plant, or if one died in the field, it had to be saved for the government inspector. In December of 1989, the Commercial Appeal told of two teachers accused of pot sale at school. December the 9th, 1989, page 1A. Two Munford High School music teachers, one a band director and one a chorus director, were selling marijuana on campus. The teacher sold 18 grams of marijuana to an undercover agent. At the time the article was written, the teachers were being held without bond in the Tipton County Jail. The teachers were charged under federal law because the federal laws are very tough on those who sell drugs on or near school grounds. The men could face up to 40 years in prison and a $2 million fine. Art Linkletter and Dr. George Gallup, Jr. wrote a book in 1981 with the title, My Child on Drugs, Youth and the Drug Culture. As many of you know, Art Linkletter lost a girl several years ago because she had taken LSD and jumped from a window to her death. Linkletter now works diligently to help other parents help their children to avoid such tragedies. He has spoken at Freed Hardeman University, where I teach. He does a superb job in informing parents about the dangers of drugs, all drugs, not just LSD. The Gallup organization did a survey among high school students in the United States. The following disturbing statistics are given in the Linkletter Gallup book. In 1969, only 4% of the population had ever tried marijuana. But in 1981, 24% had tried it. That is a 600% increase in just 12 years. High school students were asked in 1981 when they had last tried marijuana. The following results were obtained. 4% had tried it in the last week, 6% in the last month, 10% in the last year, 23% ever. Remember that only 4% had ever tried it in 1969. The majority of the teenagers said that marijuana was either easy to get, 35%, or fairly easy to get, 40%. One student said, My school has an enrollment of about 2,500, and it seems to me everyone in school either smokes pot or pushes it. Smoking seems to be practically the only form of entertainment in our town. According to the survey, alcohol and marijuana are the most widely used drugs among our young people. most teenagers find alcohol less enjoyable than marijuana. 13% of the teenagers report that they have driven their automobiles while high on marijuana. 10% have driven their cars after drinking too much. Pages 100 through 103. What is marijuana? Frank Minnerth, Paul Meyer, and their associates have written a book they call Taking Control, New Hope for Substance Abusers and Their Families. These Texas authors are all psychiatrists and work for the largest psychiatric clinic in the United States. These men list a few of the 50 or more names that are used for marijuana, such as Acapulco Gold, Grass, Pot, Weed, Hashish, Bang, Daga, Mary Jane, and others. Page 43. Dr. Robert DuPont Jr.'s book, Getting Tough on the Gateway Drugs, A Guide for the Family, says that marijuana, which is smoked in the United States, comes from the dried top leaves and flowers of a plant called Cannabis sativa. Marijuana, in its unburned state, consists of 400 separate chemicals, 60 of which are unique to the marijuana plant. When the plant is dried and burned to make smoke, it produces more than 2,000 chemicals. Page 67. Just think what these 2,000 chemicals can do to the human body. The marijuana young people smoke in 1990 is not the same plant they smoked 20 years ago. In the past 15 or 20 years, the strength of marijuana has increased manifold. According to Dr. DuPont, 10 years ago, and his book was written in 1984, the average or typical marijuana drug had a THC content of about 0.2%. Today, the content averages about 5%, a 25-fold increase in the potency of marijuana in the last 10 years. Page 67. Dr. DuPont gives this summary of the use of marijuana. In some, the frequency of marijuana use is up. The age of the first use is down. And the potency of the drug is up, well up. Taken together, these significant trends spell out a message that is loud and clear. The benign image of marijuana and its use as painted for us by the experts 10 years ago is outdated and irrelevant to today's marijuana problem. Old data and old attitudes are not only wrong, they are dangerous. Page 67. If Dr. DuPont is right, and most experts agree that he is, what are the dangers of using marijuana? I have no intention of listing and discussing all the dangers of marijuana, even if I knew them all, because it would take far more time than I have on this program. But I do want to list four dangers relating to the use of marijuana. First, THC, the main ingredient in marijuana, is soluble in fat, but not in water. So what difference does that make? Most of the waste in our bodies is carried out in our water-based elimination system. Marijuana remains in the fatty parts of our bodies, the brains, the liver, and the reproductive organs. One half of the THC a person takes into his body will still be there a week later. A measurable amount will still be there a month later. While alcohol is a dangerous drug, our most dangerous drug at this time, it does not remain in the human body like THC. Second, marijuana has a disastrous effect on the lungs. According to Dr. DuPont, marijuana smoke contains more tar and more known cancer-causing chemicals than tobacco smoke. Marijuana smoke also has more carbon monoxide. Marijuana smoke has more chemicals known to be harmful to human lungs than does the smoke of an old-fashioned and highly toxic, unfiltered, ordinary cigarette. Page 68. One of the tragedies of this situation is that most marijuana users also smoke cigarettes. Whatever tobacco does to the lungs, marijuana does more, and it does it more quickly. Dr. DuPont says, the respiratory irritants in the smoke of one marijuana joint causes about 20 times the narrowing of the air passageways caused by the smoke of one tobacco cigarette. Page 69. Add to the dangers of cigarette smoking and marijuana smoking the pollution in the air, and you have a very lethal combination. Dr. DuPont argues that marijuana smoke paralyzes the anti-infection white blood cells of the lungs, the pulmonary alveolar macrophages. Page 69. To put Dr. DuPont's thoughts in very simple terms, lung infection is much more likely to occur in marijuana smokers. Marijuana smoke is almost universally contaminated with the spores of the common soil fungus, Aspergillus. Page 69. One slogan used by the American Lung Association is, "Don't let your lungs go to pot." Page 69. Third, another danger of marijuana relates to the human reproductive system. The most thorough study of marijuana ever done was published in 1985. The book, Marijuana Alert, was written by Peggy Mann. The foreword was written by Nancy Reagan. You may have read some of Peggy Mann's articles in the Reader's Digest. One of her articles on marijuana from the Reader's Digest was the most requested reprint in the history of that famous magazine. Over 7 million copies of her articles were sold by the Reader's Digest. Dr. DuPont gives a ringing endorsement to Peggy Mann's book. Peggy Mann has two chapters in her book on the effects of marijuana on sex and reproduction. One chapter deals with the effects of marijuana on females, and the other chapter relates to males. I shall read several excerpts from her book. Peggy Mann points out that marijuana affects the human reproductive system in two distinct ways, either directly on the organs themselves or through the brain. As tiny an amount as a billionth of a gram of THC affects the hypothalamus, which in turn affects the pituitary, which regulates endocrine function and hormones controlling the sex organs. Page 130. If a young woman wants to become a mother someday, she needs to remember that pot smoking may prevent the implantation of the fertilized egg in the uterine wall. Or, if it does implant, it might not properly be nourished. Dr. Carol Grace Smith is a reproductive pharmacologist at the School of Medicine of the Uniformed Services of the Health Sciences at Bethesda, Maryland. She has done a great deal of work on marijuana's effect on sex and reproduction. After devoting many years to studying the effects of marijuana on the female reproductive system, Dr. Smith has these wise observations. There is increasing evidence to indicate that the reproductive system may be more impaired by marijuana than any other system. The reproductive system is unique because it has so many different types of control mechanisms. The impairment is a subtle, lifelong process. Only when we want to have a baby do we notice that the system has been damaged. It can be heartbreaking if you lose your chance of being a parent because you've been smoking so much pot. Page 135. But an even greater tragedy is that a child should be born either mentally or physically handicapped because its parents smoked marijuana. Peggy Mann points out that every THC baby, and she's talking about rhesus monkey babies, had some subtle developmental abnormality in one or more of its systems. either the nervous system or the cardiovascular or urinary, and or some placental abnormality. In human studies, radioactively tagged THC has been shown to accumulate in and to cross the placenta. Consequently, when the pot-smoking mother gets high, so presumably does her baby. Page 137. Psychologist Peter Freed of Carleton University in Ottawa, Canada, did an extensive study of pot-smoking pregnant women and the behavioral effects on their infants. He asked the women about their smoking habits, their eating patterns, their use of alcohol and marijuana. He divided the subjects into three categories: irregular users, regular users, and heavy users. The heavy users smoked five or more joints per week. 100% of the babies born to heavy users showed abnormal behavioral effects. These abnormal effects were noted: tremors, exaggerated startles, and slow response to visual stimuli. Pages 141 and 142. Dr. DuPont points out two disturbing facts about the influence of marijuana on the human reproductive system. First, for males who smoke marijuana, there is decreased testosterone. This is the major male hormone. Decreased sperm production and increased production of abnormal sperm. Second, female rhesus monkeys were treated with doses of marijuana comparable to common human doses. The female monkeys showed a fourfold increase in fetal loss through miscarriage and stillbirths. Page 70. Finally, let us examine briefly the effects of pot smoking on the human brain and on the central nervous system. Because the brain is a fatty organ, it is the most susceptible human organ to marijuana. Thousands of our brightest young people have lost their intellectual sharpness and their power of discernment because of their use of marijuana. Peggy Mann gives us this letter from a young man who was a heavy smoker in San Francisco. "I smoked marijuana for about 1 year, but not very often. I felt sometimes I needed it, so I smoked it. But what is bothering me is that I have changed completely in my personality and behavior. I stopped smoking marijuana completely 4 months ago, but still my behavior is the same. I forget a lot. I do things I know are wrong, and afterwards I feel sorry. I am a third-year civil engineering student. I study hard, even harder than before I became like this. But I forget what I study. Before, it was different. Please help me to know if this will stay forever, or will I change by continuing to be away from marijuana? I am very disappointed, and I am not optimistic anymore. I think there is no need to continue to go to school. Please answer my letter, and I will be grateful to you." Page 71. What a sad day for America and for the world that we should lose some of our brightest minds through their use of alcohol, cocaine, heroin, marijuana, and other drugs. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. Dr. DuPont says that one of the saddest aspects of drug dependence is its eating away of the will, the urge, the desire, the drive, the dreaming, the wanting to do what you once hoped to do, to be or to become what you once aspired to. Page 76. He lists three adverse effects on the human mind and on human behavior. The use of marijuana impairs or interferes with short-term memory. It is associated with behavioral and mental disorders in people. It has harmful short-term effects on reflexes, physical effectiveness, and vision. The rise of marijuana use during the last two decades closely correlates with a fall in scholastic aptitude tests, SAT scores, page 76 through 7-9. The daily users of marijuana gave this report. 42% said it caused them to have less energy, made them less interested in school, hurt their scholastic or work performance, while 38% said it hurt their relationships with their parents. 11% said it caused them to be less stable emotionally, and 28% said it made them think less clearly. But only 11% thought pot use made their car driving less safe. Pages 85 and 86. If you are a parent or a school teacher, you may want to know the signs and signals that someone is using marijuana. Art Linkletter and Dr. George Gallup, Jr. gave these insights. Lack of appetite, short attention span, slothfulness or lethargy, drowsiness, drunken appearance, loss of memory, impaired judgment, and staying away from home. I'm sure that every parent and school teacher has observed some of these behaviors in every child. Obviously, there could be other explanations for these conditions. But when these are seen in certain situations, they may be clues to marijuana use. For example, if a normally hungry youngster begins to lose his appetite, a parent should be alert. If several of these behaviors are seen in combination, then something may be happening that parents or school teachers need to check. Since marijuana is so potentially dangerous in all cases, and unquestionably destructive in some cases, would it be wise to legalize marijuana? There is a national pressure group calling itself NORMAL. That means National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, which lobbies state legislatures and the National Congress for the legalization and the decriminalization of pot. At one time, Dr. Robert DuPont favored decriminalizing marijuana, but he does not anymore. Dr. DuPont tells of attending an annual convention of NORMAL. He described for them the dangers of using marijuana, but completed his speech by arguing for decriminalization. He said that every newspaper across the nation and every television network carried what he said about decriminalization, but did not mention what he said about the dangers of marijuana. At the time of his speech, Dr. DuPont was White House drug advisor. The headlines across America said, "White House drug chief supports decriminalizing pot." Page 63. You can see the bias of the media in such reporting. Dr. DuPont mentions a hearing in the U.S. Senate conducted by Senator Charles Mathias, Jr. Those who testified before the hearing were both for pot and against pot. In other words, there were some who supported decriminalizing pot and some who opposed it. Senator Mathias asked two questions. Should children use marijuana? And is marijuana a health hazard? Every single witness answered those questions in the same way. All said children, at least through age 18, should not smoke marijuana, and all agreed that marijuana was a health hazard. Page 97. My friends, I have shown how dangerous marijuana is, and why Christians and all others ought to reject it for personal use and oppose its decriminalization and legalization. One question remains for me to discuss briefly. What are the benefits for not using pot or any other mind-altering, body-threatening, and spirit-damaging drug? I want to make three suggestions. First, leaving off marijuana means that you will keep your body in better condition for serving God, your fellow men, including your family, and for living a long and satisfying life. Will you please listen carefully to Paul's statement about the human body? What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Almighty God designed the human body to serve you, your fellow human beings, and to Him for 70, 80, or even 90 years. Why punish your physical body by putting into it any kind of drug, including marijuana, which will hinder its proper functioning and hasten its demise? Will your body fulfill that for which God gave it? If you continually abuse it by using alcohol, cocaine, heroin, marijuana, and other dangerous drugs, are you being responsible to your family, to your God, and to yourself when you damage your body by using drugs? We cannot even be as patriotic as we ought to be when we ruin our minds and destroy our bodies through drug use. Second, your mind is one of the great mysteries of the universe. The human mind baffles scientists, philosophers, and theologians. Its wonders cannot be explained, and its accomplishments fully understood. In my judgment, the human mind is one of the greatest evidences that man did not just happen. His mind reflects the very mind of the Creator. Surely you want to keep your mind as clear as possible. There is so much information we need. Marijuana impairs our ability to remember, to think logically, and to apply the information we have gathered. How utterly inexcusable that we should damage our minds by what we smoke or put into our stomachs. Third, we can drive more safely and operate other machinery more responsibly when we avoid the use of debilitating drugs, including marijuana. How would you feel if you killed someone because you were intoxicated on marijuana? One railroad engineer in the Northeast was responsible for killing 16 people because he had been smoking marijuana. Any kind of skilled work, including driving an automobile, requires concentration and ability. But these are adversely affected when a person smokes marijuana, drinks beverage alcohol, or uses other dangerous drugs. My young friends especially, let me plead with you, but we will include our older ones as well. Please say no to drugs and yes to God Almighty. We thank you for listening today. May our Heavenly Father continue to bless you.